Would you please turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In our journey, we've traveled to verse 5, but we'll review a little bit. Verse 1 is the most amazing statement a human being will ever encounter as we think of, in the beginning, God. Now you could stop there, and you'll have enough to think about and learn about for more than a lifetime. Then you go on to think, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No human being will ever fathom the depth of that statement in a lifetime. And yet, it's interesting and wonderful to be engaged in that and have our minds expanded in thinking of God creating the heavens and the earth. Now today we're going to begin by thinking about the first 5 days of creation, fly through that, and get to the sixth day where God created man, male and female. Now, in what God did here, he says it's good. So he makes a moral pronouncement upon the creation. It is good. And, of course, you've heard many times that this word for God, Elohim, is a plural word. And many begin there to think of the Trinity, the triune God, yet one God. And we have the Hebrew word for day, which is yom. You know of Yom Kippur, which is the celebration of the Day of Atonement. And yom is used in different ways. Yom, the 6 days of creation. Well, the first 5 days, beginning in verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day of God's creative act, as it is listed here in Genesis. Last week, we spent the bulk of our time considering light and darkness. That light is the symbol of good, darkness is the symbol of evil, and God put his light in us in Christ and delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. A lot of symbolism there. Verses 6 through 8. Then God said, let there be an expanse or firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. The biblical day starts in the evening. Evening, then morning. And Orthodox Jewish people still consider their day as beginning in the evening. The second day, the firmament of heaven, division of waters, which supports my theory of verse 2 and 3, that the earth was without form and void, darkness was on the face of the deep, the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And we went through 5 theories about this creation. And what I'm thinking and saying is that God made the planet Earth, but it was covered with water. And now we see him dividing the waters from the waters, and there's a heavenly expanse, and there's going to be dry land the next day. Beginning at verse 9. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place. Let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. So now we have all of this developing. And a key thing that we need to pay attention to in thinking about the atheistic theory of evolution is that God said these things were brought forth according to its kind. So that a horse has always been a horse, a tree has always been a tree. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day, over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. The sun and the moon and the stars and the seasons and the years and the beginning of the measurement of time. How many of you have an alarm clock that woke you up this morning? Why do we have that? Well, it started here, time. And our schedule started here, days and years, the sun and the moon. Now, it would be good for you to have a commentary on Genesis and read about the symbolism of the sun and the moon and what God did here. The moon has no light of its own, it's simply a reflector. And that's exactly what we are as Christians. We have no light on our own, but we reflect the light of the Son of God. So here is the fourth day. Now, let's look at verse 20. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. All of these that God created, it's amazing. I watch people, and I think, Lord, I wonder why he created so many, many people all through the years. Then I go to an aquarium and I see the sea creatures, the little fish, the larger fish, the bigger fish, and wonder about all the kinds and types of fish. And then I see one that looks just like my Aunt Matilda, and I wonder about that. Then on the day that we were visiting in the hospital, when Ray was having surgery, Chris was there, and there was an aquarium over on the side. Chris has a mirror, and she goes over to this aquarium where this one fish about that big, and Chris moved the mirror. That fish followed her mirror precisely and quickly. And we just all had a great time thinking about that. And this reminds me of God's creation of that fish. And I had never seen that before. Try it sometime. Maybe that's what we ought to do when we go fishing. Take a big mirror and put it over on top of the lake and catch all the fish. So, folks, we have 5 days. God's order of creation. Now, I think that's what these days of creation are giving us. Not necessarily a time element, but an order. And some have correlated days 1 and 4, days 2 and 5, and days 3 and 6. And so some people say that these are long periods of time, and others say, no, these are 6 24-hour days as we know them. Well, whatever way God chose to do it, I accept what is said here in Genesis. Now we come to this sixth day, verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, here's the creation. Then verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created humans. What a creation. What a thing is a human? Who are we? Well, you know, this is the big thing that people have been asking through the years, this identity crisis. Well, Immanuel Kant, the well-known philosopher, was sitting on a bench one day, and he sat there a long time, and a policeman came along and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm thinking." And the policeman said, "Well, who are you?" He says, "That's what I'm trying to find out." "Well, you want to know who you are? Here it is. You are the creation of God, either male and female, created in the image of God, a higher creation than any other part of God's creation, above the animal world and the world of nature. Creation is for man, not man for creation. We are not living under the blessing of Mother Nature. We are living above the creation as a higher creation, with the ability of a God consciousness. We can pray. Animals cannot pray. Animals are never guilty. Animals have no heaven and no hell. We do. We are created in the image of God. God is spirit. You have a body, but you are a spirit. I have a body which I wear around, this old carcass of mine, but I am spirit, as God is spirit. Now, the great discussion through the years is, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? I think it means simply that we are created as a person. God is a person. What is a person? A person has intellect, emotion, and will. We have those compartments in our person. We are in the image of God as a person, with morality, with spirit, with the ability of communion, and the ability to love. And you think of our being physically, and Ray being in the hospital with a heart there that needs attention. And you think of that organ that God put in the body, which operates by electric impulse and which pumps gallons and gallons and gallons of blood through our body. What a pumping station. And how many of us go day after day without even thinking about it? And the heart just keeps pumping away. I wish you could all see a video I have about the human brain, where the term billions of intricate wiring measures, we could say, are there. What a creation we are, even physically. But then you think of the complexity of our personalities. We're persons with personality, and we're not all the same. We're complex. We have that word temperament, or temperamental. And Yogi Berra said, yeah, we're 90% temper and 10% mental. I think he probably had it pretty close. We think of disposition. We think of mood swings. There's a college in the Midwest called Moody Bible Institute. And they put out a magazine called Moody Monthly. When I first heard of that, I thought it was a magazine for women. But disposition. Then we have the thought of being extrovert and introvert. Because we are all very insecure. An extrovert takes care of his insecurity by being loud and aggressive. An introvert tries to hide and become overly passive. We are fearful, and we have all these things about us as a person. Let us make man in our image, plural words. And here's a big case for believing in the Trinity. Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man. Now, who's talking to who? Well, here's a divine summit conference. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image according to our likeness as a person, intellect, emotion, and will, a spiritual being with a body. So, God created, verse 27, created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. We are collectively human beings, male and female. Human, but different. In spite of what modern society wants to tell us, we are different. We are equal, but different roles. And we need to know that. I have something that I want to hand out to you and read as you follow, which I thought was one of the most significant statements I have read concerning the creation and what we're talking about this morning. This is a statement from a book by James Boyce, who is a pastor in Philadelphia, who has written several books on the radio, holds conferences, and so on, and we need to think through this statement. Male and female, you know, the first word in this is second. What he has talked about previously is the first thing of being created in the image of God. Now here's the second thing. Man was created male and female, and it is still so. Now, here's the thing we run across biblically all the time. The word man, a masculine word, indicating both men and women, for instance, in regard to salvation, so on. Man was created as humans, male and female, and it is still so. In our day, many say that there is no essential differences between men and women, or that whatever differences there are accidental. You will never read of anything more absurd in your lifetime than that statement of people who say that we're created and male and female came out just by chance or accident. Awesome ignorance. This is understandable. This is understandable from those who think that mindless evolution is the means by which we have become what we are. But it is entirely incomprehensible from the standpoint of the Bible, which tells us that nothing is an accident, and that sexuality in particular is the result of the creative act of God. Maleness and femaleness are therefore good and meaningful, just as other aspects of God's creation are good and meaningful. Men are not women. Women are not men. One of the saddest things in the universe is a man who tries to be a woman, or a woman who tries to be a man. But who is superior, someone asks. I answer, a man is absolutely superior to a woman at being a man. A woman is absolutely superior to a man at being a woman. But let a woman try to be a man, or a man try to be a woman, and you have a monstrosity. This is thought to deny equality before God, as if equality means indistinguishability. But this thought is neither biblical nor rational. The man and the woman are equal before God, but they are not indistinguishable. In the economy of the family and the church, the man is to lead, protect, care for, cherish, act upon, and initiate. The woman is to respond, receive, be acted upon, bear, nurture, follow. In this, the human family is a deliberate parallelism to the Trinity. We say in theology that within the Trinity, the three persons are one God, same in substance, equal in power and glory, but there are also distinctions according to which the second person of the Godhead, the Son, voluntarily subordinates himself to carry out the wishes of the Father in redemption. And the third person, the Holy Spirit, voluntarily subordinates himself to the united wills of the Father and the Son. The subordination of the woman to the man in marriage is a voluntary submission. As Gerstner writes, no woman need accept the proposal of any man, but when she enters voluntarily into holy matrimony with that man, she becomes, as 1 Peter 3 demands, submissive and obedient to her husband. In the same way, children are under the divine command to obey and honor their fathers and mothers. We know from sorry experience that many of them choose not to do so. But if they do, as they are under a divine command to do, they must do so voluntarily. There is in the economy of the human family, which God made in his own image, a replica of the divine Trinity itself, in which there is a proper and voluntary subordination. Now, I thought I'd hear a roar of amens. Is there one amen? I think this is right. I think this is biblical. I think it's a good statement, and you might want to put it on your refrigerator. The message is to both men and women. God saw that what he did was very good. A man is good. A woman is good. And equal. But different. And in our day, we have the pressure of society, of tolerance, by those who attempt to tamper with God's creation. Don't do it. It's wrong, it's sinful, it's dangerous. It was a major part of the fall of the Roman Empire. The tampering with what God did in creation with regard to our sexuality. Now, what should we think about today in regard to what we've just read in Genesis? What is the greatest problem in our country? The greatest problem in our country is the breakdown of the biblical family as God has set it forth. All the other things are symptoms of the breakdown of the biblical family. And what we're going to read about and study in Genesis 2 is more the detail of how God created Adam, how God created Eve, how God brought them together, and we have the family. The family is the basis of society. It isn't schools. It isn't government. It isn't Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and family fitness places. It is the family. So what should we do in our day? We want to be a part of the problem or part of the solution? What can we do here in our church? What can you do individually? Build good families. Build biblical families. Let a man be a man and fulfill the responsibility and the role that God has given us. Let a man who is a husband be a great husband. A man who is a father be a great father and make that priority. It doesn't matter whether you are a banker or a farmer or what that way is to earn a living. This is success. Man, husband, father. That's what counts. Women, be a woman. Be feminine. Be a wife, but be the greatest biblical wife there is. And be a mother. A great mother. That's success. not what you do in terms of career or anything else. It's being a woman, a wife, and a mother. Who needs the greatest help today in life? Parents. Parents need help today more than ever because of the kind of society in which we live. I saw a thing in the paper this morning. No spanking zone sought in Oakland. An activist wants to make this, to declare Oakland the nation's first no spanking zone. It just shows the thinking. Christina gave us a thing from the Christian school, how to raise a delinquent. And we need to duplicate this for everybody. Let me just read one thing here. Children love justice. When someone has violated a rule, they want immediate retribution. They admire the teacher who can enforce an equitable legal system. They find great comfort in reasonable social rules. By contrast, the teacher who does not control her class inevitably allows crime to pay, violating something basic in the value system of children. We start out with justice. We learn injustice in our society, which is happening now in our country. I think it's time for us to have a conference some Saturday morning on my 10 basic problems that occur in family and how to solve them. So maybe we can do that shortly. So God created them, male and female, brought them together. You have family. And God said what he did is very, very good. Now another thought of application here. What is all this? It is God's predestinating doing. It is his acting. We call that providence. Providence means God's carrying out events which he had planned to do. So God has a providence for you, for me, for all of us, whether we're male or female or whatever that is. He has a providence for our individual life. The application? Accept God's providence in your life. Quit whining. Grow up. Quit living as babies. Accept God's providence. Give thanks. And be what you are as God has created you. Accept the place where he has put you. Accept the talents he has given you and the gifts that he has given you. Accept the people that he's put around you and live for his glory. And haul out Genesis 1:1 and say with God, it is very good. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And call Sarah on the telephone, she'll sing it to you. Well, I'm going to quit. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that the Spirit of the living God would so work in our hearts just now that Genesis 1 will be a living word in our hearts this morning. And we would accept this truth as being very good for our lives. Give us a heart of submission to your authority, a heart of submission to your providence, a love for you and for what you've done. Lord, work in our hearts today and cause us to build great families for you and for our country and for those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.